This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Eliminate bags under your eyes in minutes with Instantly Ageless from GCNLife.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Breaking news out of Allentown, Pennsylvania, where at least 10 people are wounded after shots were fired at patrons as they left a nightclub. Witnesses say frightened people leaving the Deja Vu ran to a nearby shopping center as the shots rang out early today. Still no word on a suspect or a possible motive. In breaking news out of the Supreme Court, justices have just ruled that a giant Latin cross on government land in Maryland does not have to be relocated or altered in the name of church-state separation. The opinion by Associate Justice Samuel Alito concluded that the display does not violate the Constitution's Establishment Clause. The vote was 7-2, with Associate Justices Ruth Bader Ginsburg and Sonia Sotomayor dissenting. Weekly jobless claims were down last week, and this is USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wade Allen Root for Tangible Investments. Tangible CEO has been quoted on the front page of the Wall Street Journal, interviewed on CNBC, and featured in Fortune magazine. He's been warning about a volatile and unpredictable stock market for months. The Dow is down 4,000 points since the peak. The Russell 2000 down more than 20%. In 2008, the market fell 55%, more than half your net worth wiped out. You need asset protection now. If you're a qualified client who has ever bought gold or silver before, and you have the receipt to prove it, Tangible Investments will give you a free fractional American Gold Eagle with a retail value of $199. Tangible will prove after you deal with Tangible Investments, you'll never buy from anyone else ever again. Call now to find out if you qualify for your $199 gold gift free. Call Tangible Investments at 800-780-9000. That's 800-780-9000. Tangible has done billions of dollars in transactions and can show you how to protect your assets. Call 800-780-9000 and go for your free $199 coin.
President Trump today tweeting that Iran has made a very big mistake by shooting down an unarmed U.S. Navy drone yesterday. Central Command says the drone was shot down in international airspace above the Strait of Hormuz, but Iran claims the drone was in its airspace on a spying mission. The president will be holding a meeting about the issue at the White House later this afternoon, according to a White House spokesman. President Trump says his plan to start removing illegal immigrants from the country next week will send a signal to people who are trying to come into the country illegally. He also says Mexico is so far holding up its end of the bargain in a recent deal reached under which Mexico promised it would bolster efforts to keep immigrants from reaching the southern U.S. border.
They've been doing a really good job, and people at the border will tell you that the traffic has really dropped down.
He was speaking on Hannity on Fox News, and this is USA Radio News.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
Recovered from heart surgery, Mick Jagger is joining the Stones, hitting the road starting this weekend with yet another tour. And more on the story from USA Radio's John Hunt.
Mick and the boys hit the road again. The Rolling Stones start their new tour this weekend in Chicago at Soldier Field. It's called the No Filter Tour, includes 17 shows, and it will end up August 31st in Miami. At the beginning of April, 75-year-old Mick Jagger underwent heart valve surgery, and the Stones had to postpone the original start of this tour while Jagger recovered. The Stones singer now says he's as strong as ever and ready to get this tour underway. Mick talks about what he does pre-show to get ready for the stage.
Backstage before the show is always like a bit like to really relax and chill out, and then just before the show it gets a bit like I have like Bob Marley things that I kind of sometimes do, and I do a dance warm up, so I do a couple of like current tunes. You know, I used to do like would be a year of shows basically and not much else, but I enjoy doing say short bursts and I love being on the stage.
It's only rock and roll, but we like it.
And we're just getting word that the nation's unemployment lines were a bit shorter last week. Figures just out from the Labor Department showing 216,000 Americans filing first-time claims for unemployment benefits. That's 6,000 fewer than the week before. Most analysts were expecting today's number to be right around 225,000, so a bit higher than it actually came in. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-301-5435. That's 800-301-5435. 800-301-5435.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
Hello, America. Bill Martinez here, 6 minutes after the top of the hour. For more information on the show, you can go to BillMartinezLive.com. J. Randy Tarabarelli is with us, New York Times bestselling author of Jackie, Janet, and Lee. We're going to be talking about his brand new book, The Kennedy Heirs, John Caroline and the New Generation, A Legacy of Tragedy and Triumph. Randy, welcome to the show.
It's great to be here.
Wow, the Kennedy Heirs. I mean, when I first got the book, I'm 600 pages here. There is a lot to write about the Kennedys, right?
Oh man, you know, there always seems to be a new proposition with the Kennedys, and this is my fourth Kennedy-related book. I've been covering the Kennedys now for 22 years, and I always find new material and, you know, new subject matter and new places to go. The Kennedys are sort of a gift that keeps on giving.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's certainly lots, as you say, to write about. And of course, as you continue, I'm sure you pull on one thread, here comes another one. And in this particular focus, it's John and Caroline and, you know, the Kennedy clan post John and Caroline, right?
It is. I mean, with this book, I wanted to focus on the third generation, which are the children of JFK and Jackie, Bobby and Ethel, Ted and Joan, Sergeant Shriver and Eunice Shriver, and find out, you know, it's just what their struggles have been like and what's it like to be raised with the last name Kennedy, knowing that the expectations for what you should achieve in your life are so great, and that you're constantly measured by, you know, the standards of, you know, what John Kennedy achieved as president and Bobby Kennedy as the senator, and even Ted Kennedy, you know, as the lion of the Senate.
Exactly.
So, so this was something that had always interested me. It took a number of years to, as you say, pull all the threads because there are so many characters and everybody has such a great story to tell.
Mm-hmm. How much of Joe Kennedy's legacy has carried through to this third generation?
I think that that's a really good question because the third generation really is sort of imbued by, you know, the character and the personality and the ambition of Joe Kennedy and his wife Rose.
Yes.
And their mandate that, you know, you have to serve.
Yes.
That, you know, you've been given a lot and you need to give back. And that mandate has, you know, carried through all generations of Kennedys, but particularly in the third generation, you really did have to give back. And this was, in many ways, you know, difficult for a lot of the Kennedys because this young generation, you know, was traumatized by, you know, the deaths of you know, grandparents and the trauma of their own parents had gone through,
mm-hmm.
kind of, I guess, seeped into their experience as well. And so, I mean, many of them, you know, acted out and misbehaved and, you know, had struggles in their lives. And this book is about those tragedies as well as about the ways that many of them were triumphant.
Yeah, in the midst of, life being what it is and, you know, the end of the 20th century, going into the 21st century, the different cultural influences, no doubt different time than when JFK and Bobby were around, or Ted. Now, a different generation, but yet to the core. And I'm glad to hear you say, because I see that as core to the Kennedy family, and that's that heart of a servant's heart, so to speak. Yes, they've been a family of privilege, but with that privilege has come an incredible amount of heartache.
You're absolutely right, an incredible amount of heartache, you know, but also an incredible amount of giving. And, you know, and I told stories of Kennedys that have been, you know, in public service for, you know, for decades. Patrick Kennedy,
yes.
Ted Kennedy's son, was a congressman for more than 20 years. You know, Joe Kennedy, Bobby's son, you know, was also a congressman. And I mean, Caroline Kennedy, ambassador to Japan. So many of the Kennedys have, you know, worked so hard to distinguish themselves in their own way. Even John Kennedy Jr. with his publishing of George Magazine, which sort of was an intersection of, you know, politics and personality, and his mission to bring politics closer to people so they have a better understanding of the political world. I mean, they all found their ways to contribute, and some immediately and some eventually. Kathleen Kennedy Townsend, Ethel's daughter, was Lieutenant Governor of Maryland. I mean, the list just goes on and on.
Right. And in the midst of this servant's heart and how they've served the country in various capacities, you have what has been described as the Kennedy curse. How do you describe this?
Well, you know, it's interesting. The Kennedy curse is a phrase that was first introduced to the world by Ted Kennedy in his speech after the accident at Chappaquiddick, when he gave a national address to the country to explain and to apologize. And in his speech, he said something along the lines of, I'm not quoting him here verbatim, but it was along the lines of, perhaps there is some sort of Kennedy curse that hangs over the family. That was the first time that anybody had ever heard the phrase Kennedy curse. And since that time, you know, we've applied it to so many of the tragedies that have happened in the family. And people have often asked me and the other Kennedys, and I ask many Kennedys, you know, what is this? You know, what is this curse? And they all have different points of view about it. Eunice Kennedy Shriver told me that in her mind, the curse is that the family has had to live their lives under such heavy scrutiny and has had to make their mistakes, you know, under the eye of a watchful public. And she felt that was the curse. But most people think the curse is bigger than that. They think it has to do with death and destruction. And certainly, you know, there's no shortage of death and destruction in the Kennedy story.
Yeah, I mean, you would think, I mean, most people, when you think of a curse, there's always some triggering mechanism, right? You know, that would have happened in the family background, some generational issue. But you see the Kennedys early on, you know, most immigrant families coming to the country, working hard to prove themselves. I don't, you know, I've never heard of anything of a legacy type that would point to a curse, maybe some bad luck or something, but I don't know. I mean, it just has been suspicious. So it's interesting that even the family members have kind of a vague notion of what the Kennedy curse represents.
Well, you know, it's hard to escape it. You know,
yes.
I mean, and it's not just the Kennedys. It's the surrounding family. You know, I mean, Ethel Kennedy's parents were killed in a plane crash.
Mm-hmm.
Aristotle Onassis's son was killed in a plane crash. Of course, you know,
Junior,
Kathleen Kathleen Kennedy was killed in the plane crash, Kick, and Joe Kennedy Jr. was killed in the plane crash, and then John Kennedy was killed in the plane crash. I mean, just in plane crashes alone, you know, but then you also have, you know, drug deaths. You have Mary Richardson Kennedy, that's Bobby Kennedy's wife, committed suicide by hanging. You have David Kennedy, Ethel Kennedy's son, died of a drug overdose. Michael Kennedy, Ethel Kennedy's other son, who died in a skiing accident. You do have to wonder.
Right, exactly. Well, we've got to go to break. We've got more from J. Randy Tarabarelli after this. Stay with us.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. And the IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
Policies issued by American General Life Insurance Company, Houston, Texas. Not available in all states. For details, visit AIGDirect.com.
Do you have a family? Would you like to help make sure they'll be taken care of if anything were to happen to you? If you answered yes, you probably need life insurance. Now, do you think life insurance is expensive? If you answered yes to that too, you definitely need to give AIG Direct a call. We could find you a $250,000 policy for just $14 a month, which means you could save hundreds of dollars a year. Call us now for a free, no-obligation quote. 1-800-919-5435. Since 1995, we've helped millions of people find out if they could save up to 70% on their term life insurance. See how affordably we can help you protect your family. Call AIG Direct now for your free quote. 1-800-919-5435. You could save up to 70%. That's 1-800-919-5435. 1-800-919-5435.
If you owe money to the IRS, you need to hear this. The IRS is cracking down on those who owe back taxes. It starts with a devastating letter, and if you don't act immediately, you could find yourself having your wages garnished or have a lien placed on your property. But there's a solution. Tax 10,000 can help. Avoid enforced compliance, where these holds on your income and seizure of your home could become a nightmare that just won't end. Call 800-239-9957 now and speak to one of our experts. 800-239-9957 is the number to link you directly to a tax resolution specialist who will negotiate with the IRS on your behalf. Working through the IRS Fresh Start program, all the forms will be handled for you. All you have to do is make the toll-free call. 800-239-9957. Find out if you qualify and possibly save yourself thousands of dollars, not to mention a lot of headaches. It could be the best call you've made today. That number again, 800-239-9957. The service does not provide tax settlement or legal services. We will refer you to a company that does provide such services. Often the IRS will not agree to any reduction in the amount owed. Not all taxpayers who owe more than $10,000 will qualify for a tax reduction program.
Your program, your calls, your opinions. Bill Martinez, live.
You come so far, keep on going. Oh, I
America, 19 minutes after the top of the hour, fresh and independent, just the way you like to hear from us. Our conversation with J. Randy Terabarelli continues, New York Times bestselling author of Jackie, Janet, and Lee. His latest book, The Kennedy Heirs, John Caroline and the New Generation, A Legacy of Tragedy and Triumph. Michael, as we were wrapping things up in the first segment here, focusing a lot on the tragedy of the Kennedys. It is amazing, as you say, how many of the Kennedys died in a plane crash. We had two Kennedys assassinated, you know, but all the other devastation within the family that took place, drug addiction and suicide, divorces. Wow, I mean, it's just been incredibly painful. And, you know, and I think, what was it, Eunice said that part of the curse is because you're living it so loud in front of the public, because you are, in essence, the Kennedys are a public family, are they not?
Well, you know, they're America's family, you know. I mean, some people feel that they're sort of America's version of royalty. And I agree with that, but I think it's a little bit deeper than that, because, you know, the royals in the UK are sort of an arm's length from their public, mm-hmm. whereas the Kennedys are right here with us. You know, what I've always loved about the Kennedy story, and the reason that I keep going back to it, is because of the sheer humanity of it. You know, that these people remind us of people in our own lives. We've all had relatives who've had these kinds of struggles. We've known people with these kinds of emotional challenges. And these stories resonate with my readers because they're so relatable.
Right.
And I think what's always important for me is not so much, you know, what I like to think about is that when a member of the Kennedy family goes to bed at night and is alone, with just his thoughts, and this is an observation I made in the book, those thoughts aren't about the collective good of the Kennedy family, and they're not about legacy, and they're not about, you know, iconography. They're about what's going on in that day that is tormenting that person, or or even what triumph is that person proud of and able to have a restful night because of. Mm-hmm. You know, so I tried to take these bigger than life characters in my books and sort of pick at them until the humanity is more obvious than the, you know, the iconography.
Mm-hmm. Who of the Kennedys has inherited the historian position to kind of hold the family stories and the legacy together? Is it any one person, or is it still several people?
Well, I actually think that the answer to that question is probably Robert Kennedy Jr., Bobby Jr., who is an astonishingly good writer and has published a book last year called American Values. And it's sort of his version of his story, you know. I mean, you know, it's different in many ways than the version that I tell, because I think it's one thing to live it, another thing to have an historian take a look at all the other aspects of it other than just yours, mm-hmm. you know. But, you know, that's the difference between autobiography and biography. I mean, they both have their value, you know.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And he's very, very meticulous in his research into the family, and his memories are really profound. And I so highly recommend American Values by Bobby Kennedy Jr. Mm-hmm. as a book that if you really want to get, you know, close to the Kennedys in a different way than the way I brought them to you, take a look at that. Cause I think he is sort of the historian of the family now.
Have you had much time with him?
Yeah, I have. I have mm-hmm. in the past. You know, he's guarded. He prefers, like a lot of people in the public eye, they prefer to have control mm-hmm. over their stories.
Right.
I prefer that they not. So Right. I mean, my job, you know, my job as a biographer is to invade their privacy. Let's face it. That's, you know, my readers want me to do that. You know, they want me to invade privacy, but in a way that's empathetic and balanced and fair.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, not mean, not cynical, not judgmental. But definitely it's an invasion of privacy. That's what these books are all about. And, you know, most of the Kennedys would prefer that, you know, I not do that.
Yeah.
That said, you know, my books are available, you know, at the Kennedy Library, you know, at the JFK Library and Museum, which is such a great honor for me, you know, to know that when I go there to research one of my books that I'm working on, I can pull some of my other books off those shelves.
Yeah.
And
how cool is that? That's really cool.
That's the coolest thing.
Yeah. Well, Randy, I think it comes across as well in the way you relate to the Kennedys as, you know, in a sense, you know, royalty in the perceived eyes of Americans that this is America's family. And, you know, and I would think that most people would agree with that.
I think so, you know, and I think we need this. You know, especially today, you know, we need aspirational stories as well, you know, as some of the more tragic stories I've told in this book.
Well, they've lived it out loud and in front of everybody. I mean, you want to control the narrative, but, you know, there's not much to control when you've got, you know, a president being assassinated on the streets in public in Dallas. You've got Junior in a plane crash. I mean, you know, addiction, the stories, all that. You even talk about Caroline's failed Senate bid, which was painful for the family.
And painful for her as well, you know, for Caroline. But, you know, I think that she, you know, she learned a lot from that experience. And I think it's a really good section of my book because it, you know, it shows how hard it is for the Kennedys to sometimes find their place. You know, Caroline Kennedy had been told since she was a young girl that she must serve, she must serve, she must serve. Well, how does that manifest? You know, and when she turned 50, she began to realize that, you know, she still hadn't done it. You know, she was still looking for her way. And she thought maybe this was it, and she was going to throw her hat in the ring, you know, to be in the Senate. And it was just 7 weeks of her life, but it was 7 weeks of hell, as I wrote in the book. It was just not a good fit. It was kind of comparable to expecting Jackie Kennedy to run for office.
Exactly.
You know, either you have that that trait, that character, personality, that politician drive, or you don't. You know?
A bit of a round peg in a square hole kind of thing, yeah.
Yes, exactly. And as I wrote in the book, eventually Caroline Kennedy did find her place, and she served as ambassador to Japan, you know, under Clinton, and that was a much better fit for her because it wasn't so public, it wasn't invasive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you continue to look hard enough, you will find your place, and I think that that's one of the lessons in the Kennedy years. You know that. It doesn't come easy for most of us. You know, most of us, it's sort of hit and miss. But if you don't give up, your miracle could be right around the corner. And certainly Caroline found great satisfaction, you know, as an ambassador. And that was her way of serving.
Well, we got about a minute and a half left here. I want to address quickly the death of John Kennedy Jr. We touched on that earlier. But the impact that this had on the family.
You know, it's funny. You know, it's the 20-year anniversary is coming up next month of John.
That's amazing.
And I think I speak for all of us when I say that we still don't believe it's true.
Right.
You know, and the family feels the same way. There is just something about it that still, 2 decades later, feels unreal. It feels as if this is a nightmare that we will hopefully wake up from, and every day, you know, it just continues.
Yeah, you see him coming down the street in rollerblades or something and say, hey, where have you guys been, you know? The name of his book, Kennedy Heirs, John, Caroline, and the New Generation, A Legacy of Tragedy and Triumph. What a read from J. Randy Tarbarelli, New York Times bestselling author of Jackie, Janet, and Lee. This is, you know, boy, for people who have followed the Kennedys, this book is an incredible blessing to you. And Randy, thank you so much for sharing it with us. Thank you. You take care.
Thank you. Thanks so much. Appreciate it very much.
Attention! This is a public notice from the Social Security Disability Helpline. If you're one of the millions of Americans who are disabled and unable to work, you may be eligible for disability benefits from Social Security. Receiving benefits is your right. If you suffer from physical or mental disability, whether you're applying for the first time or you've already been denied, we can help. We'll evaluate your situation and deal with Social Security on your behalf. Best of all, there's no fee until you receive your benefits. Remember, we only get paid if you win your case. There are many reasons and conditions that may make you eligible for disability benefits. Many of them you may not be aware of. So if you're disabled and unable to work, call now to get started with your free, no-obligation consultation.
800-368-0123. 800-368-0123. That's 800-368-0123.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Breaking news out of Allentown, Pennsylvania, where at least 10 people are wounded after shots were fired at patrons as they left a nightclub. Witnesses say frightened people leaving the Deja Vu ran to a nearby shopping center as the shots rang out early today. Still no word on a suspect or a possible motive. In breaking news out of the Supreme Court, justices have just ruled that a giant Latin cross on government land in Maryland does not have to be relocated or altered in the name of church-state separation. The opinion by Associate Justice Samuel Alito concluded that the display does not violate the Constitution's Establishment Clause. The vote was 7-2, with Associate Justices Ruth Bader Ginsburg and Sonia Sotomayor dissenting. Weekly jobless claims were down last week, and this is USA Radio News.
There's no question you need omega-3s. But which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you. We'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now. 1-800-399-6392. 1-800-399-6392. That's 1-800-399-6392.
Someone once said, live free or die, right? Bill Martinez, live.
Well, we're back with you, America. 28 minutes before the top of the hour. Are we looking at the death of politics as we know it? Some might cheer that because what we've known of politics of late has been, as some would say, no bueno. And our next guest, Peter Wehner, talks about how to heal our frayed republic after Trump. He is a veteran of three Republican administrations and one of the earliest conservative critics of Donald Trump's presidential run. Pete passionately and eloquently argues that the great American political tradition is dying with catastrophic consequences. Peter Wehner, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
Hey, good to have you here. Looking at politics, it just didn't happen in Trump. I mean, the death of politics has been going on for decades, would you say not?
Yeah, in fact, I argue in the book that a lot of these trends that have happened are not because of Donald Trump. They, in some senses, produced Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. What I do blame President Trump for is amplifying and some of those worst tendencies, but he came into the presidency for a reason. It wasn't as he came out of nowhere. There was a lot of disagreement with politics, the political class, how things were going, and there was a tremendous impulse for change in 2016. He was the change candidate, and mm-hmm. Hillary Clinton was the establishment candidate. I think that explains, in some measure, why he won.
In previous previous administrations or previous opportunities for the public to look at a change agent, it happened within the body politic. But this, I think, what has got to be the first time in the modern era when you're talking about change that you know, people voted in somebody who was totally outside of the Beltway and the nuances of the political process.
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, the closest parallel would be Dwight Eisenhower, but that was profoundly different because Eisenhower, planned the Normandy invasion and was general. So we've never had anybody quite like Donald Trump, and he came in promising to turn the system on its head. The question is, change can be needed and necessary. The question is whether Donald Trump is a change for the better or the worse. I argue in the book that by and large he's a change for the worse. I think there's a somewhat nihilistic impulse, an idea that you're going to burn the village down to save it. And I think some of his promises, like draining the swamp, have not only not come to pass, but he's putting larger alligators in that swamp.
So you agree a swamp exists?
Oh yeah, to some extent. I mean, it always does because right. There is a political class for sure, and there is a bureaucracy. And there are people who, lobbyists and so forth, who act in ways that don't always advance the public interest. But that's always the case, not just in American history, but in the history of any free society.
Right.
And so the question is, and I think the proper conservative approach, and I'm a lifelong conservative, is to be an advocate for reform, but it has to be responsible reform and informed reform. And for Donald Trump, I don't think he has any mastery of issues or the intricacies of government. And I don't think government in that sense is running better. But I'm certainly always open to making things better, as I argue in the book, and I'm certainly happy to argue now that there are things right. that have not gone well, and we can do better in every realm. Indeed, prior to Trump, I was part of a group of so-called reform conservatives who were advocates for reform in all areas of government.
Mm-hmm. Well, we just came off of 8 years of a president saying that he was going to fundamentally transform the country. And it was painful what we experienced 8 years under Barack Obama. And so we go from one extreme to another. What is Donald Trump, by his administration, his personality, what is he exposing about the political process here in our country today?
Well, I think the reason that he came into being was what we're talking about, which is the political process is not running as efficiently as it ought to. We're as polarized as we've ever been in the modern era. We know that since Reconstruction after the Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
And the kind of compromise that has marked the best of the American political tradition, including the Constitutional Convention, which was really the signal achievement when it comes to compromise, that's really not happening. But my argument is that Donald Trump is making us more polarized, more angry, more upset, and we're sort of at each other's throats. Again, he's not responsible for those feelings, but he is a person, unlike any other president I can think of, who seems to thrive, who gets this kind of psychic satisfaction from creating divisions. And also, to a degree I've never seen in a president, he's made no appeal to people beyond his base. He has run, his presidency has been conducted, and his campaign will be run almost exclusively on energizing his base, touching on the cultural flashpoints that matter to them. And I think that there's a cost to the country for that, and I think there's a political cost for Republicans to that. There certainly was in 2018. We'll see about 2020.
Pete, so you think that when he went to Black America and said, look, you just came off of 8 years of having the first Black American president. How did that work for you? Why not give me a chance? You don't perceive that as trying to expand his base?
No, I don't think he has expanded his base, and I think that's evident in the polls. You've got this rather odd situation where the economy is doing reasonably well, and he's doing poorly. And I think the reason he is because he's been a deeply polarizing figure. And remember, what he did in 2011 was he came forth with a crackpot conspiracy theory that Barack Obama wasn't born in the United States. That was really his entry point into the political stage. I actually wrote a piece in the Wall Street Journal back in 2011 warning about that kind of thing with the Republican Party. So this is a person who on the issue certainly of race and culture and ethnicity hasn't been a healing agent and hasn't made an effort to expand his base.
I'm not necessarily disagreeing with what you're presenting here, but, you know, if we go back and look at the genesis of the birth certificate issue, it was Hillary Clinton that first brought that up, and she took it down almost as quickly as she brought it up.
Right, but let's assume that that was completely true. If it was crackpot for her to do it, it was wrong for Trump, and Trump amplified it in a way that she never did. Mm-hmm. He kept coming back to it again and again and again, and long after it was obvious that that was not an issue, that Barack Obama was born in America, Trump kept insisting that he wasn't, and he came up with his manufactured story that he was sending investigators there. But beyond that, I do think that what ought to trouble conservatives in particular, but every American, it's not just that Trump tells lies, but it's an avalanche of lies, not just that he attacks truth, but it's an all-out effort to annihilate truth. That is a hallmark of his presidency. That's something that conservatives once upon a time stood up against. I'm old enough to remember when the conservative movement were champions of objective truth and against moral relativism. And now with Donald Trump, day after day after day, lie after lie after lie, large, small, personal, professional, unending, trivial matters, important matters, conservatives should be able to say, if they have the integrity to say it, which is, I agree with Donald Trump with his court appointments or his deregulation policies or his policies in charter schools. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, what he's doing in terms of the transgression of ethical and moral norms and this assault on truth and dehumanization and the cruelty and the crudity, those things are wrong. And they're not doing it, and particularly, and I speak here as a Christian and an evangelical, the fact that so many leaders of the evangelical movement have not only been sort of voce silent in the face of these things with Donald Trump, but go forward to defend him all the time for everything he does and never hold him to account. I think that's insane on the evangelical movement, and I think the conservative movement can do better and be better, and it should.
Well, I agree that what should drive this, and I agree that what would heal our country is a true, honest, and passionate search for the truth. And if we can hold to that ideal, I think it would go a long way in whether it's Donald Trump or whoever comes after Trump, even looking at the history of our country. You know, you brought up a couple of points that, you know, people still question to this day. And some of these questions were introduced by Barack Obama himself. And I'm not trying to go tit for tat. I'm only just saying is that we have been lied to for a long time. And I think sometimes when that happens, people wonder who can they believe.
Looking for high speed internet.
Look, I'd say several things. One is if you read my writing throughout the Obama era, I was quite critical of Barack Obama. I'm a conservative. I'm not a liberal. And
right.
I certainly have called Barack Obama to account for certain lies that we're told, including on the health care that you see your doctors if you want it. But having said that, there's simply no comparison between Obama.
Act now and for a limited time, get free standard installation and free equipment with Usenet from Whole Home Connect. You'll enjoy internet service that lets you do more of everything you want to do online, like shopping, surfing, and staying in touch. Call Whole Home Connect and see for yourself why Usenet is America's number one choice for satellite internet.
800-696-6902. 800-696-6902. 800-696-6902. That's 800-696-6902.
This message is sponsored by AmeriGlide, featuring the nation's best prices on a home stairlift. Are you having a difficult time getting around your home? Do you avoid going up and down the stairs? Have you even considered moving from your lifelong home just to avoid the stairs? Forget about moving and call AmeriGlide and learn how an easy-to-install stairlift is the perfect solution to help you get your freedom back. Plus, we guarantee the nation's best prices. Make this free call today to learn more. No sales visits are necessary. We can help you over the phone. Now you can stay in the home you've been in for decades. Please do yourself or your loved one a favor. Make this simple 2-minute call right now. Get the lowest price on a stairlift anywhere. Here's the number. 800-296-1434. 800-296-1434. 800-296-1434. That's 800-296-1434.
Let me ask you something. What are you doing when you put money in a 401k or IRA, or store jumper cables in your vehicle, or purchase health insurance? You're preparing. You're preparing to ensure you have enough money for retirement. You're preparing for when your car battery dies, or to have assistance paying a major unexpected medical bill. That all makes sense. The same goes for building a food storage plan. You're preparing for when emergencies or disasters strike and shelves go empty at your grocery store. The best way to prepare is with My Patriot Supply. They've helped a million hardworking Americans become more self-sufficient. My Patriot Supply sells hundreds of items, including dozens of emergency food kits, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It could be an earthquake, a cyber attack freezing our banking system, or a disaster that shuts down our power grid for weeks. For all these emergencies and more, get your supplies and prepare today at MyPatriotSupply.com. No more rushing to find empty store shelves because you're too late. Do it now so you're ready. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Do you own a timeshare? Well, you probably now realize it wasn't a good idea, and the financial strain it's putting on you and your family has you stressed, and you probably think there's no way out. This is Steve Sanchez, and you know I've been an advocate for hardworking Americans just like you for 27 years, and there's a way out of this financial nightmare, and my friends at Wesley Financial, the leading timeshare cancellations company in the country, can help you cancel your timeshare guaranteed. Being lied to, misled, and pressured into buying a timeshare doesn't have to be your story, but freedom of being out of it can be. I have a special free information kit that will give you the step-by-step process that Wesley Financial uses to get you out of your timeshare guaranteed. Call 1-800-501-6100. That's 1-800-501-6100 or visit stevesanchez.info. You don't have to have the financial nightmare of a timeshare any longer. Wesley Financial can help you get out guaranteed. Call 1-800-501-6100.
You're listening to Bill Martinez live.
Peter Wehner continues with us. He's a contributor to the New York Times opinion section and The Atlantic, covering American politics and conservative thought, and a popular media commentator on politics. His brand new book, The Death of Politics, How to Heal Our Frayed Republic After Trump. Peter, do you think that we've lost the vision of what politics is supposed to be and what it's supposed to produce?
Yeah, I think we have, and I think all of us are responsible for that. People in both parties and all ideologies. Politics is a complicated thing, and it's got different aspects, and it's certainly got its downsides. But what I argue in the book is that politics is finally and fundamentally about justice, and justice always matters. And if you get your politics wrong, so much of what we love and care for and have devoted our lives to can be swept away. And at the same time, if we get our politics right, it allows for human flourishing and human dignity. And I do worry, and I do push back against this in the book, is a notion of, you know, corrosive cynicism and fatalism, a sense that there's nothing we can do. There's, in fact, a lot that we can do. And citizens who demand more will yield politicians who offer more. But we have to be willing to fight for the things that matter. We have to fight for integrity, for truth, for honor, and for a whole series of principles that have been hallmarks of America. I also argue in the book, and this is important, which is context is key. There have been more difficult times in the history of this republic, a lot more difficult times than what we're in now. We've had the Civil War, 700,000.
Just for one.
A country of 29 million. That would be the equivalent of 7 million a day. The late 60s and early 70s, where you had riots in the streets, race riots, universities being taken over, Vietnam War, Kent State, which National Guard shot a student, the Democratic National Convention, Chicago, blood in the streets, the assassination of Martin Luther King and Bobby Kennedy. I went back and researching the book, in a period between 18-month period between 71 and 72, there were 5 domestic bombings a day in the United States. So we're not at that point, but things are frayed. There is an antipathy. And there's also a sense, which I've heard a lot of, you may well have too, which is a belief that a person who holds a view that's different than you isn't simply wrong, but that they're morally or
evil,
defective.
Exactly.
And it's a dehumanization, and it's a sense that this person's not my opponent, but they're my enemy. And that's just dangerous. That's a kind of poison into the political bloodstream that we have to get rid of. But that, again, is up to us.
Yeah. Well, and this is one thing that we have been pounding the drumbeat on in this radio show here, Pete, is that it's not a Republican thing or a Democratic thing. It's the United States. I mean, e pluribus unum is what it's all about. You know, everybody brings their disparate views into the marketplace for discussion and debate, so that we're better. I mean, when you look back historically, I mean, it wasn't like, you know, our founding fathers all got together and there was 100% agreement. They fought it out tooth and nail. And when I mean, you know, they debated the issue, I'm not talking about fighting it out like what, Biden has suggested, is that there should be an all-out brawl on the streets of the country. I mean, it's like, I mean, which is, you know, to your point, it just speaks to how frayed the emotions are in our country. But I think it's because we've disanchored ourselves. We're untethered from, you know, the founding principles. And to me, I mean, even right now, you know, justice, the whole idea of justice is being weaponized. I mean, we're talking about reparations right now and things. And as one person was talking to me, you know, about reparations, I said, well, how do we repair, you know, all the non-blacks that fought for, you know, for slavery and died, you know, for slavery in this country? I mean, look at, there's no doubt, you know, there was a huge mistake here, and that's probably the understatement of the era to say it was a huge mistake. I mean, it was disastrous what has happened. But what makes it worse is that it's continued on for all these decades. And I believe that what I'm hearing is an inner cry from both sides, from people of all races, color, and creed, to say, look at, you know, I almost want to echo what Rodney King said in Los Angeles years ago. He said, why can't we just all get along? You know, but if we don't, you know, if we're not looking, like what you're saying here, if we're not looking to the higher calling, and to me it's liberty. To me, the litmus test is, are we freer, are we less free as a result of any policy that comes down the pike, any kind of debate and consideration? Are we furthering freedom for all? And freedom for all, what our founding fathers wanted and perceived, and I believe that we should hold to, is it is freedom for all. It's not at somebody else's expense, because then it's not freedom.
Yeah. No, I'd say a couple of things. I mean, you stated your case elegantly. The first thing is just on the history, which is important, to echo a point that you made. And my book is about ideas, but it's also about stories. Some of them are my stories, but most of them are stories from America. And I have a section where I talk about the Constitutional Convention. And it really is remarkable that you see the issues that divided them at that time. The things that we are facing pale in comparison to what they did, including the issue of slavery. And yet they were able to hammer out compromise. And without the Constitutional Convention, you'll remember that originally this was supposed to be an amendment to the Articles of Confederation. But that was just much too weak of a national government. So they had to come up with a new government, and that's what the summer of 1787 was about. So there are people that we can learn from, and we shouldn't overstate the differences we have now compared to historically. The other issue you raise, which is, you know, does policy, you say, advance liberty? And that's certainly a fair point, and so much of the American ideal is liberty. But what people like you and I, who are either conservative or libertarian, have to keep in mind is, what's the underside of liberty, or what are some of the collateral damages of liberty, and what do we owe collectively to people that are left behind? And that is the kind of discussion that one has. And of course, as a conservative, liberty is one virtue, but order and authority is another one. That's what separates conservatives from libertarians. And so traditionally, conservatives have not promoted certain policies that libertarians might, because they say, freedom alone is not always the end game here, that there can be a human cost if you don't take into account other things. That's the kind of discussion, it seems to me, that we have to have. And
exactly.
For conservatives, you know, conservatism has been defined by Russell Kirk and by others as the negation of ideology. That is, it has traditionally, at its best, the Burkean conservatism, the conservatism of Oakeshott and Ronald Reagan and others, says it's not an abstract ideology that we're going to push for. It has to be anchored to human experience.
Mm-hmm.
You have to amend things as they go to take into account different circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I think in our politics, on both sides, people are simply throwing abstract principles at each other rather than saying, what are the real-world effects of a certain policy at this moment in time, and what can we do to make things better, and what do we have to stop doing to make things to keep things from getting worse?
Pete, how are the communication channels affecting our ability to talk with one another and to have this needful conversation? Because I'm like you. We all have to be in on this deal. We all participate in the solution. As my dad used to tell me repeatedly when I was growing up, God in his wisdom did not give any one person all the goods.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, that's actually the wisdom of your dad is a big place to start. Again, this is, to me, a conservative virtue and a virtue for everybody, which is what's referred to as epistemological modesty. It's the sense that no one person has all the truth at their fingertips, and we all have things to learn from others. Let me tell you just one anecdote or one story that I have in the book, which is meaningful to me. It may be to you and your listeners. I talk about C.S. Lewis, who was a great Christian apologist and medievalist and author of children's books from the mid-20th century, and his relationship with the fellow named Owen Barfield. They were part of a group that Lewis started called the Inklings. And Lewis, in his book, Surprised by Joy, talks about what he refers to as first friends and second friends. He says, first friend is the person who's your alter ego. That's the person when you start the sentence, that person can complete it. You see the world very much the same way, and we all need that. That's part of what community is, and that's what encouragement and support can be. But then there's a second friend, according to Lewis, and he said, the second friend is the person who is not your alter ego, but your anti-self, the person who reads the same books as you do and draws all the wrong conclusions from them. And in his discussion, Lewis talks about he and Barfield going hammer and tong far into the night, and how you would learn the weight of the other person's punches. But then you begin to modify one another's thoughts. And then Lewis said, out of this perpetual dogfight, a community of mind and deep affection emerge. And the key here is that Lewis and Barfield both treasured their friendship precisely because they saw things somewhat differently than the other. And they felt like they could learn from each other, that there
exactly.
were some perspectives that they had. And Barfield would later say that in argument, we always, both of us, were arguing for truth, not for victory. And that's really an attitude that we have to take into our lives, our theological lives, our political
right.
lives, our daily lives, which is there something that I can learn from another person? We rarely completely change our views, but we can get a better perspective and at least learn the perspective of other people that helps us to understand where they're coming from.
When I built sales teams, Pete, I will tell you, what I did was create an environment to where strengths and weaknesses could be matched up along
yep.
this line. Because the fact of the matter is people know, you know, instinctively, you know, what your strength is, what you're not hiding anything. But the opportunity is to be vulnerable enough to where strengths and weaknesses can match up. So as a result, as a manager, I could be a more effective manager when I allowed the strength of a sales or marketing professional come alongside and advance my thought in my area of weakness, and conversely, my strength in management could make them a more effective professional salesperson.
Yep.
And as a result, we were blessed to enjoy 5 winning seasons. So
there's a lot of wisdom in that, and to
yeah.
see that is a huge advantage.
Exactly.
It actually would make our political life better.
Without a doubt, Pete, I highly recommend this book, The Death of Politics, How to Heal Our Frayed Republic After Trump. It'll be linked on our website at BillMartinezLive.com. Peter Weiner on Bill Martinez Live. Thank you, Pete. Appreciate it.
I enjoyed it. Thanks, Bill.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Are you afraid to go to the